And so as we look at this, we're going to finish the seven biblical principles for being a good steward. And so if you'll put the steward logo there you go. Thank you. And so let's remind us of what a steward is. Simple definition: the activity or job of protecting and being responsible for something. The office duties and obligations of a steward: the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. And you know, everything is God's. Amen. And yet God says, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to entrust my children with this. I'm going to entrust you with my finances, with my material things, with all things that are mine. And by the way, is money good? Yeah. Let's be honest. Money is good. Amen. Is money evil? No, money's not evil. You know, people are like, oh, you know, money is the root of all evil. Back up. Money is not the root of all evil. Listen, money is a simple tool, just like the projector is, and that chair is, and this is, like this mic is. Listen, money is just a tool to get things done. It is your love of money that is what creates the evil. It is your greed and your love of money that causes the problems. Because when you love money, you typically don't love God. And you go, well, I don't agree with that. Well, that's fine. You don't have to agree with it for it to be true. Amen? So as we look in the Word today, we're going to go back over and we're going to look at seven biblical principles for being a good steward or a good manager of the things of God. Let me, some of you are struggling in here, so I'll get you a little more heat, but not much, because then I'll struggle. And you know, it's all about me. All right, so I'm kidding. You guys need to lighten up today. Just because it's snowing outside doesn't mean it can't be sun shining inside. Amen. All right. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So, and listen, I know you're waiting for the food, but if you don't cooperate with me, I preach longer. And so you're just going to be hungrier and agitated, and it's just not going to be a good morning. So work with me here. All right. Number one, we said Christians are good stewards. And then we read 2 Corinthians 8:5, which says, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And so we see right from the beginning that Christians are good stewards because first they give themselves to the Lord. And we talked about what does that look like. You know, so many people say, well, I'm a Christian, but your life doesn't exemplify what a Christian should look like. You know, I love Jesus, but you're doing everything that Jesus says don't do. And so there's a little bit of a contradiction going on. And so what we see is Christians are stewards. And in 2 Corinthians 8:5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And so we see the number one. Then number two, we said giving is motivated by grace. 2 Corinthians 8:1-4. And if you guys have these up there, you can put the verses up. It should be last week's sermon, seven biblical principles, should all be up there. Maybe not. All right, we'll just keep reading. And so chapter 8, 1 through 4, it says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. And so if you remember, they were talking about, listen, they were deeply impoverished. They had trials, they had afflictions, and yet they abounded in their giving. And so what we see is even though, because, you know, some people go, well, hey, I can't give because, you know, I got this and I have that. And I'm just going to tell you, you are robbing yourselves of the blessing of God, because what you're saying is, I can't give to you, God, because I can't trust you with it. I need it more. And you guys go, that's not what I'm saying. Oh, yes, it is. You'd say, Pastor, I don't like what you're saying. I know. Number three. Number three is, and this is where we pick up from last week, because I really want to get through this. There we go. Did you guys find it from? Okay. Yeah, thank you. He's like. Amen. All right, so here we go. Number three, the third thing is that we're going to look at of the seven biblical principles for being a good steward is our financial giving is an index of our spiritual vitality and maturity. I'm going to tell you, okay, you guys already know, and for our visitors, we are so glad you're here, but I don't always say what tickles the ear. I say what the Word of God says. And so if you're here today, thank you. If you don't like what I got to say, we'll feed you afterwards and it'll still be good. So just keep hanging out, amen? So as we look at this, giving is part of maturity, your spiritual maturity. And if you say, "Well, I'm not gonna give to the church, right?" Because I got people to tell me, "Pastor, I don't agree with you getting paid. I think you need to just that needs to be volunteer. If you love God, you're gonna do it because you love God." Amen. What? Okay, thank you. That's a maturity problem, you know, because as we look at this and we're going to see further down that if you work and you're teaching, we'll get into all that. But when you go, I'm not going to give to that. I'm not going to give to the Lord. I'm not going to support the ministry. I'm not. When you do that, what you're saying is I don't trust God. And the reason I don't trust God is because I'm not mature enough in my walk to stand with Him. And you guys go, I don't like that, Pastor. And I know that. Listen, there's not a whole lot about this month's preaching that you are going to like, I'm guessing. But I still got to preach it. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 14. In 2 Corinthians 8, 7, it says, "But as you abound in everything..." Here's what Paul's saying. Listen, as you abound in everything. And then he starts listing the everything. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, because you know the problem is we have people say, well, Pastor, my faith is struggling. Well, it's struggling because you're still growing, and that's that maturity issue we were talking about. And then you say in speech, how many people go, I'm going to ask you, just throw yourself under the bus. How many people say, man, Pastor, I still have a problem with my language? Amen? Yeah, right. Some of you just drop bombs everywhere. I had someone call me up the other day, and they're like, Pastor, can I talk to you? I go, sure. And so we're talking, and then they're getting a little more emotional into it, you know? And I just let you go. I mean, it is what it is. And then all of a sudden, I hear this boom, right? And I'm going, all right, now that we got that out of the way, let's just move on, right? So what is it, guys? Because we're growing, we're abounding, and this abounding is a spiritual growth that what we call, in a big word, progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification simply means spiritually growing into maturity. There you go. And so Paul says you got to do it in faith. You have to do it in speech. You have to do it in knowledge. That knowledge means that, listen, how are you going to live by the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God? And how are you going to know the Word of God if you don't read the Word of God? And if you don't read the Word of God, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be stuck. You're just not going to go anywhere. And by the way, I don't know about you, but when you get stuck, it causes frustration. Amen? Hey, listen, anytime I get stuck and I can't get out of it and I work and I get frustrated because I'm like, man, I should have this. And if you're not growing in knowledge, then I'm going to tell you this. The things of God will frustrate you. The things of God will twist you up like a pretzel, and then what Satan will do is he will use your lack of knowledge and your lack of understanding to create frustration, and that frustration will cause a divide between you and God, and you'll step away. And then you'll say silly things like, Pastor, I want you to put 70 hours a week. I want you to go to the hospitals. I want you to keep the church up going. I want you to keep everything moving, everything rolling. We need to be growing. Why aren't we growing? We need to be spiritually growing. Why aren't we spiritually growing? We need to be numerically growing. Why aren't we numerically growing? We need to be You need to do this and you need to do that and you. And I say, well, why don't you share the gospel? Well, that's what you get paid to do. But then in the next breath, I'm told I shouldn't get paid. I'm like, oh my goodness, right? So it's like, why is all of this happening? Well, it's because your knowledge, you're still a babe. you're still a babe and you don't understand. And so it causes frustration. So he says, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence. What do you mean in all diligence? In all of your effort in doing those things and growing, you need to be abounding in that diligence, that effort that you're putting forth. Most of us get frustrated and we just quit putting forth the effort. We're like, oh, well, I'm not getting anywhere. God's not answering my prayer, so I'm just done. No. It's all diligence. It's hanging in there. How many have ever seen the picture of the cat and he's hanging on just by his claws and it says it's almost Friday, right? Yeah, well, that all diligence is hanging on. That's what we need to do. And in your love for us. And who is us? Paul is saying, we're your pastors. Listen, we're your teachers. We're the ones raising you up. We're the ones, we're building this church, and as we build this church, because they're building the Corinthian church, or the church of Corinth, however you want to say it, and he says, listen, you need to be abounding in your love for us as your pastors, as your leaders, as your teachers. Well, how do we do that? By investing, by being diligent, by growing in your faith, growing in your speech, growing in your knowledge, growing in your understanding. But then he goes on, and then he says, all right, so you got all that because everybody wants to be, are you ready? Everybody wants to be holy. But then he says, you need to be growing or abounding in this grace also. And what is this grace also? Giving. Giving. And that giving, I know some people go, well, listen, I give of my time and that is enough. Well, that's not what he's talking about. That's not, listen, if we're going to stay in context about this, and we're looking, and by the way, you guys know every year, every November, I preach on giving and on stewardship. It hasn't changed in 10 years. I take 1 month out of the year, and this is what we're going to teach on, and we're going to learn, and we're going to grow in, because, guys, I think that this is absolutely vital to your spiritual maturity. And so he says, see that. Not only are you growing in faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and in love, but I want you to see that you grow in your giving. Verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And so God says, listen, I'm setting the example of how not to love money, how not to love wealth, how not to love riches, but that you are to give of yourself and you are to give what you have. And Christ says, Paul says, listen, Christ set the example. He went from being rich to being poor. Why? So that we could be rich. You see what's happening? I don't know about you, but listen, I may not be financially rich. Okay, I'm not financially rich. We won't say may not. I am not financially rich, for clarity. But you know what? I am rich in the Lord. Man, how many times do I see God's hand moving? How many times, I was talking to Cindy this morning, and you guys know that she's going through her chemo treatments, and she's like, man, God's hand has just been on me, and God has just carried me through this, and it hasn't been that bad, some discomfort, but not as bad as what a lot of people go through, and God is so good. That's rich. It has nothing to do with money. And by the way, when everything lands and all the dust settles, listen, we're not screaming for more money, are we? We're screaming for family. We're screaming for love. We're screaming to be together. When you lose your health, you will spend every bit of your wealth to gain your health again. And it's crazy how people spend their health to gain wealth, and then when they lose their health, they spend their wealth to get their health. And so we are just so out of balance. And what we have to understand is what is rich. And what is rich is our knowledge, our understanding, our gaining, and our giving. And that's what's rich, making the difference in other people's lives. And if you know, I have some friends visiting with me today, Al and Karen. So I was so excited to see them come in. And I heard a car door. I was in my office. So I peeked out. You know, you look like a, whatever little freak when you're peeking through the blinds. You know what I'm saying? And so I peek through the blinds, and then I let them go real quick so that it doesn't look like I'm spying on people. And I just really want to see who's pulling up. Okay. And so I see them coming, and I'm like, yeah! So I ran out, went around, caught them at the doors they're coming in, and started going through. I brought them in here because Milton was taking so long in his class. And and so I brought him in here, and we were talking, and then we share the video. John pulled a video because I was telling Al and Karen what we'd done to this place, and it's been an amazing transformation. Amazing. And if it weren't for those who love God giving, we wouldn't have this place. And the souls that have gotten saved wouldn't have gotten saved. And those who have grown spiritually would not have grown spiritually. And so the excitement comes, guys, from us giving so that we can invest in people's lives, because that's where the true riches are. But it takes forgiving financially for that to happen. Verse 10. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage. Advantage. Everybody knows that advantage is a positive thing, right? It is to your advantage. This is a huge positive. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. In other words, listen, you were desiring to give and you were desiring to build this ministry. And so now I want you to continue doing it. I want you to continue to invest in it because it is to your advantage. And guys, I'm telling you, if you invest in a ministry, if you invest in the Lord's work, if you invest in souls getting saved, it is to your advantage. I look out here, and I remember when we first moved over to this space, we were running, 55 people? 65, somewhere around there? And many of you have been here to witness the growth and watch this place grow and grow. And, you know, we're still a packed house today, praise Jesus, even with the snow out there. And people think, oh, you know, I'm going to sit at home and watch TV and it's just going to be a good day to sit back and do nothing. And I'm going to tell you, they have absolutely missed the blessing of God by not being in church. Couldn't throw food at them later, but write their name down and we'll do it next week. All right, so in 11 it says, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. And so listen, here's what he's saying. If you notice here, he says, listen, we're to give, and you're to give out of what you have. Not well, you know, if I get this, I had a friend of mine who used to come to the church, and now he doesn't go anywhere. He serves his own God. Oh, I mean, he is his own God. I mean, well, yeah, whatever. And so, and he sends me a text, and he says, I told God. Yeah, you got that kind of power. God, I'm going to tell you right now. He says, I told God, God, if you give me back $2,500 on my taxes, I'll tithe on it. I'll give the church $200. Well, you're not tithing. Listen, if you make $2,500, how much money should you give to God? $250. That's a real tithe. So he lied right from the get-go. I'll tithe on it. I'll give you $200. What, does he think God doesn't know math? I'm just kind of curious. And so he sends me a text and says, I told God if he gives me $2,500 back in taxes, I'll give the church $200. I'll tithe $200 to the church. And I was like, oh, okay. So I sent him a text. Okay. A month goes by, I don't see him. 2 months go by, I don't see him. So I sent him a text. Apparently God didn't give you what you want, so you're not going to give to God. I didn't get a response. I said, hey, how about this? Let's not worry about the money. How about you just give yourself to God first? I'd love to see that. No response. So then about a month later, he says, Pastor, I just want you to know I love you. You're one of my favorite people. And I went, hey, if you love me so much, come see me. Anyway, but look what he says. Give out of what you have. The truth is, guys, we see in Malachi, we see in Matthew, the tithe. And what we're to do with the tithe, and we're to give the tithe, and the tithe is 10%, which means you owe God a dime out of every dollar. It's really quite simple. God gives you a dollar and you say, hey, Lord, thank you. And because you've given me this dollar, I'm going to give you a dime back. Now, see, when we're talking a dime for a dollar, we go, oh, that's easy. Here's a dime. Yeah, I'll take a dollar for a dime here. Right? How many would do that? Amen. Some of you are either lying or just don't want to play. Or you don't understand math. And so, at any rate, we'll do that. But here's what happens when the money starts getting up there and we got to write a check now for $500. We go, Lord, I could pay that, right? And then we're like, Jesus, you know my heart and I love you, but I can't do this. Yeah, and Jesus goes, yeah, you're right, I know your heart. And so he says, so it may be a completion out of what you have. Guys, don't wait until you're making more for God to bless you with what you have. Give what you have. And I'm not telling you to go in debt. I'm not telling you to put it on credit cards. I'm not, listen, you know what? And some people say, well, Pastor, what if I don't make anything? What's 10% of zero? The math, and it's due out of what you have. And listen, God says that we are to give. And he says, if you give to me, I will give back to you. I will press down. It'll be overflowing. You won't even be able to receive all of the gifts. And you say, well, that means I'll get rich. No, the gift might be your car doesn't break down. I had a minivan, 200 plus thousand miles on it. The front end was as tight when I sold it 200,000 miles as it was the day I bought it. Never replaced anything on the front end, ever. And we're talking New York roads, right? And I go, every time I drive it and feel how tight that thing was, I was like, Lord, your hand is just on this van. Thank you. And it's an amazing thing. You know, you listen, somebody might call you up and go, hey, listen, I got some firewood over here that I don't need. Man, here, you want it? Come on over and get it. And it's a whole truckload of firewood for free. And normally you'd pay $250, $300 for that truckload. You see what I'm saying? Listen, when God says, I'll give to you, he doesn't say that if you give $100, I'll give you $1,000. That's not what he says. What he says is, you give me what's mine, and you don't let money get in the way, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your socks off, but it might be in so many different ways, you can't even count them. But how many walk close enough to God that they actually see the blessings of God? How many walk close enough to God that when they, this little thing, just this little favor, and you go, oh my goodness. You know, I don't know how many park down here on the bottom? How many noticed the outside of the building today? I know all the snow was distracting, but how many noticed how this whole front just looks so nice? Did you anybody see it? Right? Yeah, it was painted. So Chris came in. Chris, raise your hand. Yeah, Chris came in yesterday, and he donated all of his time and painted, spray painted this whole face so it looked all new. And he called me up and said, Pastor, I want to do this. I'm like, man, that's awesome. So then he had a problem with his van, and he wasn't getting any heat. And I don't know about you guys, but in wintertime, heat's pretty nice, isn't it? Amen. And so I said, well, listen, when you're done painting over there, then you come over and cut my grass, paint my house, and I'll look at your van. And so, all right, I didn't say that. I'm kidding. I really didn't say that. And so I said, listen, when you're done, come over to the house, and I'll fix your van. So he came over to the house, and I reached in. I was just going to move a valve. We were going to put a brand new valve in. And I reached in, and I no sooner touched that valve, and it just crumbled. I mean, crumbled in like 30 pieces. And I said, dude, I don't know how, you should not have been driving this thing. Like, it should have broken along. Just from the pressure of your cooling system, it should have broken. And he goes, that's God. You see what I'm saying? And so we took that out, and nobody had a part. And so I said, well, listen, we're going to go to Home Depot, and we're going to do it Tim Allen style. And so we went to Home Depot, and we bought, some of you old enough to get that. And so so we bought this pipe, and we bought some clamps, and we came back, and we put it together. So now there's no valve. He just always has heat, but praise Jesus, we need heat. And so here, he didn't break down on the side of the road. And I'm going to tell you, he should have broken down. I don't even know what was holding that thing together. Well, I do. It was Jesus, because it was, oh my goodness, the blessings of God. Give out of what you have, and I'll take care and bless you in so many ways that you don't even know. And here's the thing. He drives 45 minutes one way to work. On the highway. He should not have been driving. God blesses. All he wants is us to give out of what we have. So quit waiting until, well, when I make more money, God, I'll give you more. God, when I make more money, then I'll give you the 10%. I'll give you what's yours. No, all you're doing is robbing yourself of a blessing, because remember, tithing is a debt we owe, giving is a seed we sow. And so what we need to do is we need to start giving what we owe, because if we don't do that, then listen, you're not giving anything. When you go, well, I gave here, but if you didn't tithe, you didn't give. Or if you didn't tithe, you've robbed God of your tithe, and you need to take care of that first. And there's people that have given money to the church. They don't tithe, and they go, well, I'll support this ministry, and I'll support that ministry. Well, you're not tithing. If you're going to give the money, just tithe so that God will bless that. I mean, guys, I don't want your money. I just want you to grow in understanding and knowledge, and I want God's hand on you. It doesn't mean you're going to get rich, but what it does mean is God's going to bless you. I don't know how he's going to bless you, but he says, I owe no man nothing. I'm not a debtor to anyone. And so therefore, if you give to God, God's going to make sure that he gives back to you tenfold. Do you trust him? That's the thing. Verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, you got to go, you know what? I'm just going to make this decision. It is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. 13. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. 14. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. And so let's hold on right there. You know what? The truth is, it's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. It's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. We can only give what we can give, because we got to give out of what we have. And if we don't have it, we can't give it. Amen? I mean, it's really easy math, guys. And so what happens is, it says, listen, you know what? We're to take care of each other. And what I decided a long time ago was that God's money needs to go to God's people. And so let me give you an idea of what we've done with God's money. Besides take care of this place, obviously, we have put roofs on houses. We have fixed cars. We have made house payments. We have made several rent payments to help people out. We have paid people's electric bills. We have paid... Oh my goodness, we've put batteries in people's cars. We have put brakes all the way around people's cars. We have, when people call and they're like, Pastor, I'm struggling, or I just don't have it, or blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they don't even ask. They just say, Pastor, pray for me because, you know, we lost our job, or this happened, or that happened, and we've come up short. And just pray that God finds a way. And then God will go after, I said, man, I'll pray for you, and they leave, and then God goes, idiot, you have the answer. Don't just pray for them, take care of it. Amen. Wow, you guys, do I need to turn on the air in here so you wake up? Listen, God says, you have it, take care of it. And I'm like, okay. How many remember the couple here that got saved, and then they were struggling, and God said, hey, give them $2,000 toward their rent. How many remember that, right? And so I said, here's the interesting thing that you guys didn't know was God said, give them $2,000. And when I looked at them that morning, God said, give them $2,000. I said, listen, man, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and give you $1,000 and pay for a month's rent. And God's like, $1,000? Who said $1,000? Right? And I'm going, I did. And God says, that's not what I told you to do. And I'm like, I know. So, like, this whole internal battle's happening, right? And then I remember when I announced it to you guys what we're going to do. And I'm not even kidding you. When I was announcing it to you guys, I was going to say $1,000. And then right when I went to say the amount, God says, you better not. And I said, $2,000 we're going to give them. Right? God's like, you have it. Give it. And so that's what we do, guys. Why? Because you know what? We need to take care of the lack. We don't want God's children doing without. Amen. And so we're here to help. We're going to help. And we're going to invest. That's what we do. And we do it over and over and over again. And so I want you to see, God says this whole thing is about giving, giving. And what I'm telling you is that God's people gives. Christians give. It is a spiritual vitality and maturity to give. And sometimes I think we miss the hand of God because we're greedy. I think we miss the hand of God because we don't trust God. And listen, I don't know how much you give. I don't know how much you tithe. I don't even look at it. I don't even care. I have people come up to me and go, Pastor, I got a new position in my job. And I'm like, man, that's fantastic. So you're liking it better? Well, as we're talking, I go, well, man, and he's telling me what we're doing. I go, wow, you're doing a lot more. I hope you got a pay raise. And they go, yeah, didn't you see it in my tithe? And I go, I don't look at your tithe. I settled that a long time ago. I don't need to look at your tithe. That's between you and God. I'm just trying to tell you that a maturity and a vitality comes from giving. And guys, listen, if we're going to rob God, then who else are we going to rob? Amen? And so in 1 Timothy 3:3, we're to be consistent and generous givers. And so in 1 Timothy 3:3, look here, it says, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Go ahead. Likewise, deacons must be reverent. Go back one more. I'm sorry. So in 3:3, we're not to be greedy for money. And then in 3:8, go to 3:8 now. And then the same thing, not to be greedy for money. And so, guys, we have to. Money will get you so far in life. And then you're done. And when the money runs out, you need a deeper anchor. So many people are trusting in their riches and their wealth and their paycheck and their job. And I'm telling you right now, you need a deeper anchor. If that is all your hope is in, is you going out and making your money, making your living, I feel so sorry for you because you are the most miserable. And you don't even know it. Guys, I'm telling you, we need to not be greedy for money. We need to be settled on God and what He has. Okay, let's look here in number 4. Give according to what you have. So in 3 is giving is motivated by grace. 4 is give according to what you have. So what we need to do is we need to give it as part of our budget. You know, when we tithe, when we give, we do it right off the top. Psh, here you go, God, this is yours. This isn't mine, this is yours. And I'm going to trust you with the 10%, and that way you'll bless the 90% so I can take care of everything else. And I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony, people who have been blessed because they trust God. And so in 1 Corinthians 16:2, look here. On the first day of the week, that's the when, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Well, how do we know what to lay aside so that there's no collections when Paul comes? Paul says, listen, you need to give what is the Lord's, and then that way, when I get there, I don't have to collect anything. So how do we know what to give to make sure there's no collections? Well, we know it's the tithe. And so we need to give according to what we have. And then, guys, be faithful to this. Be faithful to this. It is so important to be faithful to giving to the Lord, to trust in the Lord. Listen, okay, so then let's look here in number 5. Look at that. I'm rolling, guys. We went from 3 to 5 just like that. The needs of others should have a moral bearing on our finances. The needs of others. Let's look here in 2 Corinthians 8:13-15, and we looked at some of this already. It says, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by equality, and now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. Verse 15, as it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. And so I want you to see God saying, look, you know what? If you gathered a whole bunch, then you were the funnel. Remember, we've talked about the funnel where God just poured it through you and you gave it out. And so, listen, you didn't have anything left over. Why? Because, man, you made sure. Now, but listen, don't give away all your finances. Don't take it out of context, because you know what? He says we're to be like the ant. And we're to have a savings, and we're to store things up. And we need to be ready for a rainy day. So don't be silly with your money. And God says only give out of what you have, and only give what is His. And if you have more and you want to give above that, that's fantastic. So when it says here, he who gathered much had nothing left over, it's because, listen, he says, I didn't hoard this. How many have put things up because you go, oh, I'm going to keep this, and then you go back to it, and it's no good. Anybody ever do that, right? And you're like, oh, man, right? So the truth is because we were greedy and we didn't want to let go of it, and then it ended up going bad and nobody got anything out of it. We had to throw it out. And that's what he's talking about here. Listen, there's things that you're going to get. And, man, you need to hand it out. You need to give it out. You need to help somebody else. You need to invest in their life. Man, we're so greedy and we're so all about us, we miss huge blessings. We miss God's hand moving. We miss seeing the great things God does and that He wants to do through us. And he says, and he who gathered little had no lack. Why? Because you know what? We came in and we loved on each other. For some reason, our society has gotten this mentality that it's all about me. And by the way, I'm entitled. And because I'm entitled, I want it now. I call this the microwave society. Amen. Everything's instant. Throw it in there, 30 seconds, I got it, I'm good. Wait a minute, I got to wait 30 seconds, I want 20 seconds. Wait a minute, 20 seconds, where's it at? I want it now. We're so instant. And it's the insanity of it. And so guys, when we get past ourselves and we get past our greediness and our selfishness and thinking that it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me, when we get past that, then we leave the door open for God to bless us. And you know what, our brothers and sisters, by the way, this is specific. This isn't to the world. Don't get confused in this. Don't get lost in this. This is very specific to the church and taking care of the church. Jesus says, look, you're going to have the poor with you always. Listen, we're not going to be able to go out and save all the poor. What's he talking about? The church. We need to take care of one another. That's what this is all about. Being a steward of what God has given us so that we can take care of. You know, when in Acts chapter 15, Paul's getting ready to go out. The church had already settled that people don't have to be circumcised to be saved. They're saved through the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. They settled all that in Acts chapter 15. And Paul's getting ready to go out to the Gentiles. He's getting ready to start his ministry. And James and the others in the church said, listen, Paul, when you go out, don't forget the poor. And Paul says, oh, I won't forget. Believe me, I'm going to take up a collection. I'm paraphrasing just so you guys know. I'm going to take up a collection for them, and we're going to take care of the poor. We will not forget the poor. And you know who the poor was? The poor were the Christians who were cast out of their homes and out of their towns and out of their businesses because they declared Jesus as their Savior, and they would not reject Him. And so they were kicked out of town. They lost their business, their family, everything. Those were the poor that he was talking about. And so when we give, this having no lack is taking care of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, sometimes all we want to do is condemn one another. It's like, are you kidding me? We treat perfect stranger better than we treat our brothers and sisters in the house of God. We're the first to judge them and cast them aside while we run out there and take care of somebody who doesn't give two hoots. And I'm blown away by that. And so this is what he's talking about, taking care of those in the church. So when you tithe, your money goes to keeping the building going so we have a place to come together, like Hebrews says, and we take care of our brothers and sisters in Christ. This past month, past few weeks, I've written well over $5,000 in checks helping people out. Well over $5,000. And you know what? I praise God we have it. And you know why we have it? Because those who are of spiritual vitality and maturity give. And it just makes the difference, guys. I'm telling you, we need to invest in people because when it comes right down to it, people are all that matter. I walk into this building all the time, and I come in, and the heat's off, obviously, through the week. I come in, and I turn it on a few hours before you guys get here so I don't have anybody whining. And so, because, you know, we don't want sniffles and whines and all that. And so I come in, and I'll turn the heat on. Well, when I come in, man, it's cold. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I walk through the halls, and I'll start praying and going through the building. God bless this time. Bless the people when they come in here, and so on and so forth. But then I go, wow, you know what? This is just four bare walls. Life doesn't happen until you guys show up. When you guys show up, that's when it's like the life, the vitality, everything starts making a difference. When you guys show up, that's when life shows up. We need each other. And if we don't give and support and take care of one another, what are we? In all honesty, immature Christians. Some of you say, I love Jesus, but your life is horrible. So I'm just saying you're immature. When we look at this, guys, our investment is in people. It's in Christ. It's in us. It's in the whole realm of making Christianity happen. Not religion, Christianity. And boy, if we get a hold of that, we would make a difference. Amen? Don't let Christians take advantage of your generosity, because sometimes people will do that, right? Look here in 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 16. It says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. You go walk away from them? You just told me to love them. Yeah, you know what? You love on them, and then if they refuse to walk according to the way the Bible says to walk, then you got to step back and just pray for them. Amen? And you go, oh, I don't know about that. We need to love, love, love. All right, I'm not going there. Next. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, eight. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority. In other words, we had the right to collect money from you, but we chose not to do that because we want you to see the hand of God to grow and to mature before this happens, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. He said, listen, we set the example, now do what we've done. And what did they do? Man, they gave to the Lord. They worked for the Lord. They took care of themselves. They took care of their family. Listen, they took care of things in a decent and orderly fashion, because isn't that what our Lord does? He is not the God of confusion. Everything's in an orderly fashion. Go ahead in 3:10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Oh, no welfare there. 11. And by the way, welfare, when it was set up originally as a good thing. And then what happened is people abused it and liberals abused it. And before you knew it, it was a train wreck. And God says, if you're not going to eat, I love what Maine did. You know, Maine had about 12,000 people on welfare in certain sect of their state. And so they said, well, here's what we're going to do. Since we're paying you, then you are subject to work. And so you can come and you can work the jobs, and this is a job, and I want you to come here. And so we're going to give you welfare, and in exchange of welfare, you got to work 20 to 30 hours a week to work off what we've given you. And it's just a fair trade. And you say, you don't have a job, can't get a job, we're going to give you a job because we're paying you. And they went from having 12,000 people on welfare to having 2,300 people on welfare. Because people went, wow, if I got to work for a living, I might as well go out and get a job I enjoy. Isn't it amazing when we change our mindset? Okay, it had nothing to do with this. All right, so here we go. First says, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. And by the way, they're busybodies because somebody said, hey, Jesus is coming back. We don't need to work. Let's just wait on him to come back. And so then they became slothful and taking advantage of everybody. And Paul's like, this is why he wrote 2 Thessalonians, to correct the people that walked astray from 1 Thessalonians. Look here. And isn't it crazy how we abuse every? We always find a loophole and then try to wear it out. Look here in 3:12. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not... Okay, so you notice he made a separation and he said, okay, for as you Christians, brethren, for you Christians, do not grow weary in doing good. Hang in there. Keep doing what is right. That's that spiritual maturity thing. You know, as we're teaching our kids and as they're growing up and they're understanding money and the value of money, and they got to start paying for things and so on and so forth. And then there's some things they go into and they like, and then all of a sudden there's things they go into they don't like, and then they want to quit the things that they don't like, even though you just spent a fortune on it. Amen, parents. You know what I'm talking about. And so then you got to go, whoa, hold on a minute. You know what? Here's what we're going to do, because this is a maturity thing, and you're going to finish what you started. And then if you want to quit, don't start it again. But finish what you started. And so, listen, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't, listen, you started this walk with Jesus, you need to finish this walk with Jesus. And if that means a requirement on your life to do something, then you do it. To give something, you give it. God will tell you what to give. He'll move you to do it. And then there's some things where it's just word is very clear, and so you just do it. You don't go, you know, it's funny. I had a pastor friend who was ready to quit the ministry, and he asked this question. He said, what do you think? Should I quit? And I said, the fact that you're asking that question means you don't know the answer, and I don't know what God has in store for you, so the answer is no, you don't quit. Just because the question itself calls for a no. If you're like, oh, should I tithe? Are you kidding me? God said to do it. Well, I don't know. I can't go there. Okay, here we go. There's some places I just can't hang out. So in 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. That hurt. Did I hear somebody say ouch? All right, 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. Do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So guys, look what's happening. So here's what's happening. God says that you need to take care of what you can take care of, and because you've given to God, you've given to church, you've given to His resources, then the church is going to take care of those who really need the help. See how everything's so balanced? I have people come up to me who are more than capable to take care of a situation. They go, Pastor, I think you need to do this. And I go, psh, God laid it on your heart. I think you need to do it. Oh, I can't. No. It's that maturity thing. See, you're lacking. We need to do what we can do, and the church needs to do what the church can do as separate, and then we come together and we make all the difference in the world. You see how this is laying out, guys? But why are we talking about it? Because we got to give. Listen. I'm not up here saying I want your money so pastor can get rich, because anybody that knows me knows pastor's not getting rich. I go out and I paint houses and I do car repair on the side. I work as much on the side as I do in the church. Because if I want extras, and by the way, you guys take care of me so well, I am not complaining at all. But if I want extras, if I want to go on vacations, if I want to do certain things, guess what? I got to work an extra job. And I have no problem doing that. The point is, guys, we do what we have to do so that we can continue doing what God really wants us to do. And we don't hold back what is His. Listen, I tithe on every dime that comes through the door. And not only do we tithe, but we're so far past tithing right now. My wife, and I'm going to tell you, that's a miracle in itself. So we, when I first got saved, the pastor said, I got saved in October, and then in November we had stewardship month, like now. And so he says, you need to tithe. And I said, show me in the Bible. And so he showed me all throughout from Adam into Revelation, tithing. Because I know some people say, well, we don't believe in tithing today. Then don't believe in it. But I can show you tithing happened before the law, because, you know, tithing's under the law. Why should we're not under the law? Tithing was way before the law. And tithing is in the New Testament. We see that in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. He says, don't forget the tithe. That Jesus says that. But of course, we want to negate that. Tithing is a child's walk. my wife, who now every year she's like, well, I just feel like God wants us to give more. And I'm like, psh, write the check. I just feel like God wants us to give more. Write the check. Write the check. Why? Because I know that God is going to take care of me. Does that mean he's going to give me money? Nope. What might he give me? He might give me an extra job, a better paying job. He might give me, not pastorate wise, but you know, on the side wise. Because I've tried to get out of this job, but he won't let me go. I'm kidding, guys. Hold on. And so, he, you know what? Then my truck may not break down. My wife's car may not break down. My home may be more efficient this year than it was last year, with no explanation except for God. Somebody might call me up and go, Pastor, I got this Starbucks card. I'm not going to use it. I'm like, I will. Right? And it's, well, here's $50 on it. I'm like, yes! Right? So that's $7 a week of my own money I'm not spending anymore. Okay, until the $50 runs out. But you understand what I'm saying. Or I time it just perfect. I know what time Buck and Brenda leave their house. I know how long it takes them to get to Starbucks. So I text them right before, hey, you going to Starbucks? Pick me up a drink. I'll pay you when you get here. And he goes, you don't owe me anything. Yes. I'm kidding. brother, you know I'll pay you if you ever ask for it. Okay. But look, once you say no, you can't go backwards. It's null and void from that moment on. You got to wait till the next one. But no, I mean, look, I feel so bad I said that out loud. All right, but you understand what I'm saying, right? God just blesses you in so many ways. And guys, we don't let others take advantage of us. After I just shared Buck. And so listen, when it comes to giving, and I know sometimes you come in here and you hear the pastor talk about money and talk about giving. Guys, it's really not about money. I don't want your money. You keep your money. You keep it. If you're offended by what I'm saying and the verses that I'm reading, keep your money. Go to another church if you're that offended. I'm just going to get up here and teach and preach the word of God, because this isn't about pastor collecting your money. This is about you growing spiritually. This is about you being mature enough to go, wow, okay, I see what the word of God talks about. And then you take care of it. I don't want your money. I really don't. I'll take your Starbucks card, but I don't want your money. Amen? Cracker Barrel card, I'll take one of those. If you ever get one and particularly don't like it, I'll go with it. All right, number six. You know what? No, we're going to stop right here. Six and seven, we're going to talk five, too. So at any rate, five, six, and seven we'll cover next week. Guys, here's what I want you to know. God talks about your money. One out of every six verses is on money that Jesus talks about. One out of every six verses. Jesus talks more about money than he does heaven and hell combined. Why does money matter? Because the truth is, guys, money matters. If we're going to grow, if we're going to reach people, money matters. We've been a church for 10 years, and not one day has this church been in debt. We've paid cash for everything. We've kept our testimony impeccable. Why? Well, because we believe in honoring God. And God believes in taking care of those who want to honor him. We don't need your money. That's the truth. God, listen, if you give, praise Jesus. If you don't, praise Jesus. God's going to make sure that it comes through that door and that this ministry continues to grow and it continues to go. And more people like you will be reached, and more people like you will be matured through our teaching. And God will be blessed. Lives will be changed. Please don't walk out of here going, oh man, all he wants is money. Well, in the month of November, it seems that way, but I don't want it. I want you to first give of yourselves, and then everything else falls into place. It's just, we have to teach on money. If we're going to stay balanced through the whole Word of God, we got to teach on these things. You know, I ask my daughter all the time, Do you tithe? And they're like, Yes, Dad. I'm like, okay, don't stop. What, you think it's because I need their money? It costs me more for them to tithe than it does for, right? It's not about their money. It's, I know that if they give to the Lord and they start trusting God and they mature in that grace, they're going to be miles ahead in their walk with Christ and their understanding. It's not about their money. And besides that, you know, my girls, like, how much money do you think they make? It's about their walk. And guys, that's what I want you to get. This isn't about your money. This is about your walk. And if you can't trust Christ with 10%, how in the world are you trusting Him with your soul? If you can't trust God to use your finances to reach the lost and to grow the immature into the mature, how do you expect Him to keep the universe on track? The truth is, guys, if you're not giving, you're not giving for one of two reasons. Lack of understanding, or you're greedy. You don't trust. And you go, oh, that's a guilt trip. Take it however you want. I'm just sharing. Giving is maturity. It's really where it's at. And I'm praying you guys get there, if you're not already there. All right, guys. Listen, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, please, when you leave here with the understanding that this is the month of stewardship. Once November's over, we don't talk about money anymore. But if money has gotten in your crawl and you can't, you're really agitated by our topic, then I want you to go to the Lord in prayer, and I want you to ask God to show you where you are with Him so that you're not so agitated about talking about money. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, I just ask you to ask God to show you your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before You today, Lord, we've talked about money, and I know sometimes, Lord, that just kind of gets in people's way. Lord, when we talk about money, that just kind of grabs hold of us sometimes in a way, Lord, where we rise up against it, Lord, where we want to stand and make judgment, where we want to justify why we're doing or not doing whatever it is that we're doing. But Lord, I just ask right now that, Lord, as we go on today, that You would show each and every one of us where we are spiritually. Lord, and then if we have issue with Your word, why we have the issue with Your word. Lord, I just ask that You would show each and every one of us where we are spiritually. Where we are with our walk with You, Lord, maturity-wise. Then, Lord, please help each and every one in here to understand that I truly am not interested in their money. But, Lord, show them I'm interested in their walk with You. Because when that's right, nothing else matters. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you're just not sure where you're going to go if you were to die tomorrow, you're not sure where you're at with Jesus, well, let me just say this. Without Jesus, you have no hope of heaven. Now understand, you know, we can claim Jesus, but is it real? There's going to be a day where Jesus says, away from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And they're going to say, but I did things in Your name. And He says, but I never knew you. And so guys, the most important thing today for you to know is who you are in Jesus. Are you a child of the King's? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? And you say, well, I don't know. And so I would ask you this question. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? And if you said yes, I would ask the next question, why? And if you say, well, I'm a good person, that's not going to get you to heaven. Well, I haven't killed anybody, that's not going to get you to heaven. Well, I do good things, that's not going to get you to heaven. The Bible says that works don't get us to heaven. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ gets us to heaven. You say, well, how do I have that? It's real simple. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, for if you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so you have to believe on Jesus Christ, and then you have to confess. And if you can't confess, the question is, do you really believe? And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If it's your desire to receive Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer quietly within yourself. This is between you and God. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done wrong. I have done things that were right to me, and I know they were wrong to you. And today, right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. Today, I repent. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer, understand this. Saying the words do not get you saved. It is those words are simply a roadmap to guide your heart through the process. It's, did you believe what you just prayed? Did you really believe it in your heart? If yes, then from this moment on, you have eternity with Jesus. If you didn't really believe it and it's just in your head, then you are just as lost as when you come through the door.